to you, huh?
That song came right to me. Some songs come right to me. Other songs, like another one you're going to play later from the album, that one morphed so many times over a year.
It happens, but that's still quick. I have a lot of folks in here who say that, you know, I ask what's the story with this track, and they're like, oh, it's been in my notebook for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I finally figured out what I want to do with it.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to birth mine. Get it out.
Okay, nice. So you brought an acoustic guitar, so you might as well play it.
All right.
So just let's go through the instruments that you play. You mentioned saxophone. Here's a guitar. What else do you do?
So the instruments I've played in bands, drums, piano, sax, guitar, ukulele.
I'm so intimidated.
So, well, I think what it is I was fortunate to grow up in a family that was very supportive.
Yeah.
Of and they valued musical expression and music. And so I think what happened was I was always attracted to music. And I see that with my own kids. Like, one kid crawled to the guitar from birth and the other just didn't.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes that attraction to using sound as your medium of expression, I think you sometimes just have it. It's not to say people can't develop it, but some people, like myself, I'm just drawn to it. I would prefer to play music instead of talk. I don't mean right now, but I remember as a little girl hiding under the piano and watching people talk at a party, and then my sister was playing piano, and I just saw people talking, and I was like, I don't like that form of communication.
Yeah. I'd rather hear what's above me.
I just basked in the music, and to me, that was like pure truth.
So
like,
what was the child who went right to the guitar, was that the one that you exposed to Tool in the womb?
Yeah.
How did I know that? Yeah. I just knew that. That's fine. All right, so I'd love to hear you play something live, and it's another track that's on this record called Can't Hurt.
Yeah.
What's the story with that song?
So this song, Can't Hurt, I wrote, my sister and I were at a Fenway game, and we came out of Fenway, and we're like, let's go watch the end of the marathon. And so we started walking down to Boylston Street, and then it was like, bam. And she's like, what was that? They must have cannons at the finish line. And I kind of saw the smoke, and I was like, you could see it coming up. And then when I heard the second one, it's like I knew. I just started crying. And she's like, what's wrong? Oh, I'm like, that is definitely not cannons. Like, they never fire off cannons. And they wouldn't do two cannons. And the women don't finish that quickly after the men. And the handicap, wheelchairs, you know. So we started to head towards Cambridge and walk over the bridge. And when I got home, like, we actually couldn't leave. They shut down cell communication. Everything got shut down. So we went to like People's Republic and just sat there and drank and watched the news. And when I got home, I immediately wrote this song. And I didn't really think of the lyrics. It just happened. But after I listened to it, I realized it's about any people who experience that type of war, type of trauma of, you know, bombs and people dying. And I kept thinking, like, you still go on with life. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of about the people, you know, I always wondered, like, how do people in Syria carry on? Like, their you know, friends are blown up, their families, and they still have these moments, human to human, that continue to make life beautiful. You know, a lot of them don't allow that to completely crush them. And I always thought that was the strangest thing. Like, these people at war, how are they dancing? And how do they carry on? And then, not like I experienced that level, but I kind of wrote this song out of some unconscious knowledge of, you know, like connecting to whatever we all have in us that continues to be beautiful.
Well, thank you for telling that story. I can't wait to hear Can't Hurt.
All right.
It's Emily Grogan here, live in Studio A at WMFO.
Understand, oh, how this world's come undone.
done by 2.7 fun. I think it's too late to pray. Yeah, there's one in the middle just finding a little. Oh yeah, see how they all play. Yeah, it's just that cold, cold ground keeps the dying lying down. And so I pray, yeah, yeah. Help me, won't you help me, won't you help me, won't you help me understand why all this world's just a flying insane asylum. So I pray, yeah, yeah. There's something in the way you move. Doesn't make it so bad. Doesn't make it so bad. They said it can't hurt you. Something in the way you move doesn't make it so bad. Doesn't make it so bad. It can't hurt you. It can't hurt you. It can't hurt unless you let it. Streaming down her face. All they said was run away, run away, run away. There's something in the way you move. Doesn't make it so bad. Doesn't make it so bad. They said it can't hurt you. Something in the way you move doesn't make it so bad. Doesn't make it so bad. It's the best I, it's the best I, it's the best I'll ever have. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, oh, this world's just a flying insane asylum. Run away, run away, run away. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Ah, it's WMFO. Medford. This is Something About the Women with a special edition of Boston Women Rock. It's Mike here with Emily Grogan. You know, that was especially intense given the context of the story you told us. So, yeah, that was really great for you to play that. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I want to keep exploring this release a little bit. And you mentioned another song, Join Together.
Yeah, Join Together.
That took a little longer to come about.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that before we play it.
So I have a home recording studio and I do all my pre-production there. I pretty much make sure that everything is set as the way it's going to be when I go in a studio with better microphones. Mm-hmm. So Join Together started as a love song. And I kept listening going, it's just weak. It's not expressing what I'm trying to express. And at one point, I almost like turned into a rap song. And then, like, I liked the melody and I loved the arrangement I had. So I just kept tweaking it. I would say, as a lot of songwriters feel this way, listening to it still, it's still not quite right. Like the chorus, I'm like, it's not as badass as I wanted it to be.
Just admit it to yourself. It's never going to be done.
And so that's the songwriter stereotype. Yeah, and I definitely have it with this one. I'm like, I wanted more ballsy vocals on the chorus. But I like the message, and especially right now, it's a message that I think is necessary. So this is the final...
For now,
of this song. Uh-huh. I still haven't fully released the CD.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe you have an issue with, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have to get my corncob pipe and lean back before we have that conversation.
I need the perfectionism. That's correct.
I promise we won't judge you. We're just going to play it and enjoy it. This is Emily Grogan from Strings of Light. This is Join Together, WMFO.
Join Together.
Thank you. to holler. Imagine all the people everywhere joining up together to fight for what's fair. Now I don't have a gun, so I don't pull the trigger. I got no army, I'm not a power figure, but I've been preaching to myself. Money, 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 money don't mean well. Things are
WMFO Medford, another selection from Emily Grogan, Strings of Light, that was Joined Together. I didn't ask you yet, Strings of Light, what's that about? Where'd that come from?
Well, let's see, I've always been obsessed with math as a language.
Oh.
So even when I was a little girl, I just had this feeling like math as a language, math as a language. I think music is like math emotion, and ultimately it's just those are languages that all reflect the vibrational quality of the universe.
Okay.
Everything has frequency and vibration. So so for me, Strings of Light, I had taken this course in microtonal music, and it was all about ratios and intervals and what ratio each interval is, mathematically speaking, when you think of things as sound waves. And we started building this matrices. If you look on the front of the album, it's like a matrix of different ratios, and it's all about overtones and undertones. And so it reminds me how magical music is. There's just this, like, something about math I find magical. It's kind of a strange thing.
Well, that makes like, one of us.
Yeah.
No, but it's interesting you're talking about it. I'm just afraid of air math, but anyway. Just,
right, right. So anyway, so Strings of Light came out of this kind of understanding that, like, music to me is the same thing as light, octave down. It just... for me, it's a reminder of the magic of music. and how everything's interrelated, the hippie part of me, like we're all one.
Well,
we're all vibrating from some source.
The strings of light has become uber cool. Very nice to know that. All right, so what else could you play for us live here? I'd love to have you do something else.
Let me think. So maybe the song "I'm Over It."
Okay.
And this was written. This one came out pretty quick too. A friend of my mom's was visiting, and she had just gone through like a really horrible divorce, where her best friend, her husband were having an affair, and all this stuff. But anyways, I myself had gotten divorced not long before, and listening to her story, I just thought, I want to write a song about that. It's kind of the first time I thought of a theme. Usually the song writes itself, usually the guitar, the piano first, and then the lyrics come out. In this case, the theme came out first of like, oh, a song about getting over it and moving on, you know, so.
All right. That sounds like a great time for me to say live in Studio A once again.
All right.
Here's Emily Grogan.
Once I left my house, my home. Now I sit here on my own and I'm over it. I packed my kids, my clothes, my heart into my automobile for a brand new start and I'm over it. Once I was so mad, then I was just sad and I'm over it. Once mistaken for your ghost, you swung at the one you loved the most, and now I'm over it. And I'll soon forget your name, oh yeah, and with it all the loss and the pain. And they say that life's so short, so I'm not wasting. Once I planted lots of seeds, they got pulled up with the weeds, and now I'm over it. You plowed up fields, you tore up crops, you moved your body without a thought, and now I'm over it. Once I was so mad, then I was just sad, and now I'm over it. Once I was stuck, but now I'm not. I hit the ground running and I won't stop, cause I'm on with it. And I'll soon forget your name, oh yeah, and with it all the loss and the pain. And they say that life is so short, but I'm not wasting. Once I was stuck, but now I'm not. I hit the ground running and I won't stop, cause I'm on with it. And I'll soon forget your name, oh yeah, and with it all the loss and the pain. And they say that life is so short, so I'm not wasting. Once I was there, but now I'm not.
That's what we call in the business that ends cold right there.
Total cold ending.
Total cold ending.
Yeah.
So we were gonna have Linda come in.
Yay!
For a little bit.
Linda.
Linda, why don't you grab? I'm Mike. Why don't you just grab?
We're gonna chat.
Number Linda, two, right there.
I just wanted you to come in and chat.
Great.
And you can use
great.
That mic
great,
there.
Great.
Have you got a chair?
I do. Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, what kind of a host are we if we don't give you a chair?
I'm totally unprepared, so.
And how is your last name pronounced?
Viennes.
Viennes. Okay, Linda Viennes, everybody joining us in studio.
It's so great to be here.
It's. I'm so glad you could make it on a kind of a murky Saturday morning so early. And I don't know why. I get the idea that you and Emily know each other.
Yes! Yeah. We do.
Tell us about the relationship a little bit.
Well,
started with two babies in a crib.
Started with two little girls.
Wow, you really took me literally. Let's go all the way back.
No, yeah. We're about 10 years apart in the music world, but we ended up both working at the Rat and different generations. So we knew of each other, but many years passed. You want to?
So we both worked at the Rat Night. We had some intersecting friends, and I'd always seen Linda from afar and kind of admired. I was like, badass rock and roll ladies, like, you know, just like beautiful women, like doing music. And I was 18 and just kind of getting in the scene. So it was very inspirational seeing it, because at that time there weren't that many women doing music in the rock scene. I can think of like maybe two or three bands that were going on. So over the years, you know, years went by. I moved to New York City, and then I came back, and I had a baby. And around the same time, maybe 6 months later or so, Linda had a baby. And we had a mutual friend, a friend of mine that I kind of grew up with. And so we went to his art opening, and I saw Linda and Wayne there. I hadn't seen for a long time with their baby girl, and I had my baby girl, and we were like, oh, we should get together. And so, yeah.
As things happen,
That just like, that started it and continued it. Yeah. And
pretty much raised, Emily has an older daughter, Sophia, who's also an amazing musician. Sophia Grogan, shout out. Check her out. Unbelievable talent.
Home despot.
But our daughters are like 6 months apart, Lily and Ruby. And, you know, they met before, like right around when they were under 1 year old. Yeah. So we kind of raised them together.
They literally would sit in the crib together. And they were just hanging out the other day, too.
I know.
So how does music sort of tie you guys together to this day? Do you collaborate together?
We did. We had a band, Angeline, for, was it 4 years?
Oh. So that was born just sitting around with the kids, wanting to still play music.
Yeah.
And that was
I'm gonna open that up just in case we want.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's a CD that hasn't been opened.
That's my bad.
Somebody should open that up because I can't do it.
I might have.
I don't know
some.
If I can. Can you do it, Bob? Because I'll never be able to do it.
But yeah, both of us. You know, when you have
sealed
babies,
CD.
you get a little bit waylaid from doing your creative process. So I think for us it was really joyful to just, you know, sit around the beach or a porch or the park, and play guitars and start singing, and then just we ended up putting a band together. Asa Brebner was very inspirational and influential and instrumental.
Oh yes,
He thought we had something special. He really liked our songs.
Yeah.
And so this Angeline here that I'm holding in my is this a collaboration between you
this
two?
This is a collaboration. Yes. Oh, it's both our songs and some co-written. I think there was a co.
Some, but, there's some co-writing on probably almost every song a little bit, maybe, but
yeah. So they're all us
really
merging and Linda and I do the vocals and all the guitars and stuff.
My conscience is telling me that track three, Girl of Opportunity, is something that we should queue up.
No, it's how we play CD.
That's a great,
three.
CD play three.
I know that.
That's Emily's song, and that's a great song, and I had fun singing on it.
Yeah,
singing on it.
So, when was this done? When was the CD done?
2007.
See, my memory's so bad.
I know,
I'm like, was it 10 years ago? 8 years? Yeah.
I think 2007-ish. I don't honestly remember either. We both.
And Girl of Opportunity, is that was it collaboratively written by you guys?
That's Emma's song.
Yeah, that was a previous song I wrote for a previous album. Kind of more of a punk rock song, so it was great bringing it to Angeline, because it morphed it into a whole other thing. Like, Linda has a very ethereal sound in her writing, and it makes it big and lush. And so Linda really brought the big lush sound to that song, which it lacked.
So there's a different recorded version of this or no?
Yeah, there's a different recorded version on a different, I think maybe on,
you might even have
at sea, maybe it might be on IO though, a different album. But it was nice because the collaboration brought out aspects of the song that I didn't know existed and kind of brought it up a notch, which is really nice.
All right. Well, I think it'd be a wonderful thing to hear this from Angeline. It's you two gals. And this one is called Girl of... What is it?
Girl of Opportunity.
Yeah. It's WMFO, Medford.
Just a common girl, ooh, little light of dynamite inside this big, big bang world. So long to another day, I try to fight it, try to fix it, and it just wouldn't go away. But I don't wanna know the reason why we're standing here, when we should be running off. I don't wanna know the reason why we're hypnotized, but it's our eyes, all eyes. I'm just a girl of opportunity, I'm blinded.
WMFO Medford, 11:28 in the morning. This is a nice little reunion going on between Emily and Linda. Yeah, exactly.
We are family. We ups and downs through thick and thin.
Yeah.
We are family.
Lots of years of good friendship here.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was from Powdered Pearls, which is a collaboration of you two gals. The band is Angeline, and that's Girl of Opportunity.
Yeah.
Tell us about who played with you on that record.
Well, we were lucky enough to have, looking back, you know, you kind of take your friends for granted, but we were lucky to have some of the most esteemed players in the roots rock and rock world. Billy Beard played drums on this record. Asa Brebner played bass and did a bunch of backup vocals. Actually, Hardest Thing might be fun because... And Cheryl Itu, our dear friend, played, that's where we first met her, in the studio, vibraphone. And Pat Trick Wallace was our engineer and helped produce.
Oh, no
kidding. And I believe he played something, maybe, but I can't remember.
I think he did a little guitar work on the clearing. Steve Sadler.
And Steve Sadler played pedal steel.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And Meredith Cooper played violin.
Shout out to them.
Phalanx of greats, and we're very lucky.
And we had it released by High and Dry, thank you.
Yes, thank you, and super supportive, Andrew Mazzoni. It's poignant, actually, talking about it, because two of our beloved Boston musicians of the older set, Andrew Mazzoni, amazing bass player, singer, awesome, in the Family Jewels, played with so many people, and Asa Brebner, of course. So, he really said, you guys should make a record, and brought us in to Pat's home studio. Yeah. And what a blessing.
Duckies, right?
And we mixed it at Ducky Carlisle's. Yeah, so Ace, super blessed.
Asa was so present in just so many musicians' lives here. You know, one of my best radio friends is Carmelita, and she was so close with him, and I know him a little bit just through her.
Yeah.
But
And God bless you and Carmelita, and we were just talking to Mike about, you know, without DJs, without you guys being dedicated to local music and making sure these local shows continue, it would be much harder for us, any of us, to have any exposure.
Thank you very much. So thank you, Mike.
Thank you for saying that. It's a labor of love, honestly. It is.
Obviously.
Yeah.
What are you making, $100,000 at this gig?
No, more than that. Hey, so let's talk more about Powdered Pearls. There's a track on there called California that you're interested in playing.
You know what? I think you should play The Hardest Thing because it really features
Which track is that?
And It's Hard?
No, The Hardest Thing.
Oh, The Hardest Thing.
Right after Happy Again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
The Hardest Thing.
Okay, moving to track 8.
Oh, yeah.
And he arranged the background vocals.
And this is called what again?
The Hardest Thing.
Okay, I'm just going to type that in here. And just to confirm, it's track number 8, right?
Yep.
2, 3. All right.
Can hear Cheryl on the...
Oh, yeah. Oh.
All right, let's spin it. All right, this is WMFO in Bedford.
And all the things you bought won't fill the void in you. And if you stop to count the cost of everything you lost, you might not make it through. You're trying not to run when your mind gets twisted up with what is false and what is true. In this universe, and the hardest thing to take is the way the heart just breaks with no rhyme or reason, and the harshest thing to face are the brutal twists of fate, and that I don't know anything at all. But there's always so much more behind the surface reality. Every person that you meet has their own complex history that you may never get to see.
from dreams, you must wake up. Stand tall and walk alone. The connection is inside. The choice to live until you die. The need to find your way back home. And the hardest thing to take is the way the heart just breaks with no rhyme or reason. And the harshest thing to face are the brutal twists of fate. And that I don't know anything at all. Anything at all.
WMFO, we Medford.
Yeah.
You know, we were producing that today. Oh, we'd have God. So many cheesy synth shit on it. We would just fuck it up so
bad. Oh, no!
I'm terrible.
Sometimes
we
I
would
feel,
mess it up so bad.
Sometimes
sorry.
I feel so sorry for the audience at home because sometimes when the mics are off, so is when the most fun happens.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, you guys, I guess you haven't revisited this material in a long time.
It's been a long time.
So you're singing along to it, and this has been really nice to see you get to do that.
Thank you.
You know, I'm glad we were able to have you here to do it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for, Emily was so generous to share her space with me. I'll be up in a little bit.
Yeah, Linda.
She's
going to
have her last
coming.
Moment.
Like,
thank you,
you
so much.
Okay. All right, so that just that was again Angeline from Powdered Pearls. That was The Hardest Thing.
Yeah,
it was really lovely to see you guys revisit that together. That was nice. All right, so let's just sort of have you have as she said your last little golden moment here. Remind everybody that Strings of Light is an EP that we have from you.
And I will get it out at some point.
Yeah, you keep saying that. I mean, you know, I don't know if I can believe you anymore.
I have a gig coming. You can come see it live at the Plow Wednesday.
Okay, tell us more about that. It's the Plow and Stars Wednesday
Plow
night.
Plow and Stars Wednesday.
And what time do you hit the stage?
I think around 10:30, playing with American Beauty, Michael Gray. So I'm playing an in-between set. So right now, my own band plays every few months, but I play with Los Gatos every Sunday at the Barn, 9 to 11. And we have a few gigs at Aaron Up Brewery coming up, and Toad, and Bebop. So
for the one at Plow, can people buy tickets at the door? Do they have to do it beforehand?
No, you just come on in. Come on in and I'll bring CDs.
No cover, no charge, no nothing?
I'm like the stereotype of that extreme musician that does no business and is all about, I just want to write and play. What's social media? What's selling?
All right, let's just say you'll find out when you get there how to get inside.
It's inexpensive, we shall say.
I'm sure.
They used to not charge above $7. So
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a track on here we want to finish with called Day One.
It's my first quiet song that I've written. So it's my first quiet song. I just was playing a classical guitar and it inspired this song.
Okay. And how long ago was this written? How long did it take?
I wrote it about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And in the studio, I just did it with a microphone and two microphones, guitar and vocals, and just kind of, it was the first time like I had to get it completely perfect, because it's not as easy to edit.
Oh yeah, I mean just recording it live like that. Yeah. All right.
So it was a one take thing.
All right. So from the EP Strings of Light, this is Emily Grogan, and this is Day One.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Things, so put on your other wings.
everybody. It's Mike at WMFO, 11:41 in the morning. Just finished up with a beautiful track from Emily Grogan's Strings of Light CD. That was day one. All right, so we'll be here until 1 p.m. and continue with this special version of Boston Women Rock. And our next guest here is sitting right here. It's Katie Dobbins. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Welcome to WMFO.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. This is really cool.
It is. That's just because of the air conditioner, you know. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. That's not the last stupid joke I'll do at all. So have you been here before?
I haven't. This is my first time. So yay. I'm really excited. And yeah, the space is really awesome.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I fell into this. And Tufts is legit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a great thing.
It feels like I'm going back in musical history into like just a really cool spot.
This doesn't exist anymore. You know, local radio like this where people get to come on and play live and stuff. It's the best.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those of you listening who can't actually see it, it's like there's art on all the walls and stickers and it's just really fun in here.
It's very collegey, but it's just, it's hard to describe. The vibe in here is really great.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about you. Did you grow up around here?
So I actually grew up in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And I'm spending my summer there this summer, but I've been living in Somerville for the past 8 years or so.
Oh, it's a great place to be for, an artist. It's just a great place.
Yeah.
So how long have you been in the musical scene here?
About 5 years. I went to college and then I got a job kind of towards Western Mass. And then I kind of wasn't doing music for a long time, even though it was a huge part of my life growing up. I was always in choirs and playing piano and getting guitar lessons and all that stuff. But I sort of just like dropped it when I went to school because I don't know, I think I thought I had to do something else and I was kind of scared of it and I was like, I don't know if I'm good enough to do music. And then I just like really missed it. I mean, any musician or anyone who has a passion for anything knows that like when you stop doing the thing that you love, you can only go so long before it calls you back. So about 5 years ago, it called me back and I've been going hard ever since.
So well put. Well, so let's just take a step back to growing up in New Hampshire. Did you have a musical family? Were your parents introducing you to music or did you find it on your own?
So my dad plays guitar a little bit, so he always had different guitars around the house, and he'll say that he just kind of fiddles, you know, but but still, just having musical instruments around was really cool, because I would strum along with him, and they were given a free piano when I was about 5, so I started kind of just, like, banging around on that. So I was always surrounded by music, although they are not professional musicians, we would always, like, sing songs together. I like to tell people that actually, our car radio was broken when I was younger, so we would drive around and just like make up stories and songs as entertainment for ourselves.
Did you hear what I said? That was like a visceral reaction. I went, ugh, when you said the car radio didn't break.
I know.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, but you know, I learned how to write songs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you said with it, you played piano and stuff while you were in growing up and everything. And,
yeah, piano, guitar. I always loved to sing. I always loved to dance. I don't know. It's just always been a part of me. I'm not sure where it comes from.
And did you always want to write, or did you start that early, or was that when you had that reawakening that you just started to write?
I wrote my first song. I started writing songs in middle school. My first song was a co-write with one of my friends who kind of taught me how to play guitar. And we wrote a cute little song together. And yeah, so I used to write all the time.
And here he is right now.
So yeah, I used to write all the time. And it's a huge part of how I express myself, obviously, as a songwriter, musician. And then, not doing it for a while, I was like, man, I have a lot to say. So now I've just been writing like crazy.
Well, I have a, I always do that. I got a CD right here, 2019 vintage. And it's got your name on it. Look at that.
Look at that.
Called There Is Light. There's a light theme today. Everybody, you know.
I know. That's really cool.
We're just talking about light. Yeah. So 2019, is this a first effort for you or is this just the latest?
This is my second album.
Okay.
Yep. So my first one came out in 2017. It was called She Is Free.
Okay.
And then.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't. You have to. Oh, She Is Free. How did you come up with that title? It's just too interesting.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm glad it's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
She Is Free must be you.
Yes, okay. I am she. Mm. And so I told you I got back into music, you know, 5 years ago. And actually a big part of what kind of, I was kind of already starting to get back into it and write songs again and play guitar. And then I went to a Christian conference actually called She Is Free.
Okay.
And the whole weekend was just like empowering people to follow their passions and step into their calling and all this stuff. And it was there that I felt like, man, what am I doing? Like, I got to get back into this. And I wasn't sure what that meant or what it was going to mean for my life. But I came back from that conference and I told everyone that I was a singer-songwriter and that I was going to make a CD. And some of them were like, what? You write music? Because again, like, I hadn't played at all. Like, I wasn't even doing open mics. So I made that CD and I called it She Is Free after that, in honor of that moment, and also just as a declaration that, like, you know what? I am free and I can do whatever I want to do, and this is what I want to do.
So that CD was your declarative statement. You know, and as I said, I'm holding the latest here. How did it change? How did your music change? What's the differences between that declarative kind of a CD where you said, all right, this is who I am now, and how did it change now with this latest one?
Yeah, so the first CD is a culmination of tracks from some of the tracks I had written in high school.
Okay.
I was kind of like bringing new life into them, and I was like, I really like these songs. I want to put them out into the world. And then there were a couple new ones on there too. But it was just kind of me being like, these are my favorite songs I've written. These are some new ones. I want to get them out there. And then this album was a lot more intentional in terms of the song choices and the arrangement of them and the message and themes that I was trying to put out.
Common theme that I hear, you know, once you sort of start the process, the second album is important and you really want to, you sort of know what you want.
Yeah, I think, yes, exactly. The first one, I was kind of figuring it out, and I really went into the studio with my producer at the time just being like, you know, I just want to like hear what these sound like with a full band, and I wasn't sure what that was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I had a really much clearer vision on sonically what I was looking for and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. Did you, do you have a home studio? Did you record this professionally? How did this happen?
I recorded this professionally with Sean McLaughlin at 37 Foot Productions down in Rockland, Mass.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he was great. Beautiful studio, produced the record with me, and it was cool because it felt like we really co-produced it. Like, he brought awesome ideas and wonderful musicians to the table, but also stayed true to my vision. And there were a lot of moments where I was like, hey, I actually want to hear the violin do this cool beat here, or can we try the drums doing this? And he was always open to my ideas, and so it made me feel like I was still owning my process, you know.
That's very important for an artist to feel like that.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Because it could go the other way.
It can, yeah.
So I'm looking at the CD. You've got a lot of tracks on here. Where do we begin? What's the first one that we expose the audience to? What should we do?
Let's do the first one.
Photograph the Stars?
Yeah.
All right, that's easy for me because I don't have to do anything. I just have to push a button.
That's why I chose that.
I appreciate that. So tell us about Photograph the Stars.
Photograph the Stars is a song about how there are things in life, so many things, that we really can only truly understand when we experience them for ourselves, and no picture or no secondhand story is going to do the experience justice. So
you got to be there live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Seeing the stars, seeing live music, falling in love, you know, like those are all things that you just can't really truly get it unless you're there.
All right. Thank you for letting us know about that. Katie Dobbins now from There Is Light. This is Photograph the Stars at WMFO Medford.
But thank God for the moon. Oh, I wish that you could see this. Bye.
WMFO Medford. That was our guest, Katie Dobbins, from her CD from this year, There Is Light. That was Photograph the Stars. I was commenting, you know, while it was playing, I just love the a nice crisp piano in there.
Thank you so much. Piano was kind of my first instrument, but then when I started writing songs, I always wrote songs on guitar for some reason. And it wasn't until recently that I started realizing I actually love playing and singing on the piano, and it's been inspiring lately, like more inspiring to write on the piano. So I think that there will be more piano songs coming.
Can you articulate the difference, you know, from a songwriter's point of view, you know, on which instrument you choose to write on?
I'm not sure. I think that
I know that's a tough question.
I think that I find guitar. Well, my piano playing is definitely better than my guitar playing, just because it was my first instrument.
See, so maybe that's got something to do with it. You just feel comfortable,
yeah,
in a sort of accompanying yourself and creating.
Yes, yeah. But guitar, I play pretty simple chords, and so I find it easier to focus on like what I want to say with the song. And I also think there's this stereotype, like the stereotypical songwriter is on a stool playing guitar and singing, you know. So I think when I started writing, that's what I did. I was like, oh, guitar, you know. And so I don't know. And I think it just might be different stages of life depending on what moves you at that point. And right now the piano is just moving me, although I don't have it with me today. I have my guitar.
Well, that would be difficult.
Yeah.
I know you have superhuman strength, but, you know, there's three flights of stairs.
Yes, there are a lot of stairs.
Yeah. So since you've got your guitar, we can actually hear your quote-unquote simple guitar playing.
Yes.
Here in Studio A. You wanted to play There's a Light that is from this record.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it before you perform.
Well, speaking of simple, it's a two-chord song.
Okay.
And it's a song about, like, the record has obviously themes of light throughout, and there's this idea that the light is something that you have to like find, you know, and then there's the idea that light is actually something that's inside of you anyway, and you just have to like reawaken it within yourself, if that makes sense. And so this song is about the light that is inside of us and kind of not being too shy or too afraid to show that to the rest of the world.
Wonderful. Yeah, light is definitely an interesting concept. All right, live in Studio A, everyone. Katie Dobbins, this is called There's a Light at WMFO.
There's a light inside head under the covers, 'cause you want the darkness to last just a little longer, just a little longer. But that light shining in the morning, you can tell it's not going nowhere. So you pull your squinty eyes up, blinded by this beautiful day.